And I think, now I may be completely wrong. You may not agree with me here. This is okay. I guess since I can't confirm this with a word, this is Scrivenerology. And sometimes, you get in trouble when you do something like this. But I'm just going to tell you, this is what the Lord has revealed to me, or at least I think it's the Lord, that there was a group of angels that Satan pulled off to the side, had a team, and he said, I so want to destroy mankind, but yet I want me and my group to be saved. Now, right now, I used to be with God, and you guys were with him. But now then, since we didn't obey him, he threw us out of the third heaven, and now we are down here on earth. Now he's going to save every man, but we're going to have to come do something so we can be redeemed. I want to be saved. I want to walk with God. So he said, you group, you go over there and you go cohabitat with the daughters of men, and you bring forth a race of angelic human beings. That's written in the Scripture. In Genesis 6. And they brought forth a group of giants. Have you ever read that? Yeah, isn't that something? And so these angels that brought forth this group of giants were in total disobedience of what God had told Satan him and his bunch could do. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, God told them, you can go this far and do this. But he says, you cannot cohabitate with these women down here and bring forth children. I will not allow it. But Satan said, well, I'm going to put the king to the test. I'm going to make this little group, I ain't going to take them all, but I'm going to take this little group over here, and I'm going to have them go in there and take women, the daughters, regular women, and they're going to cohabitate with those women, and they're going to bring forth children, which are going to be part angel and part man. And then we'll have a nation of giants, and then if we can get every human being tainted like this, then if God saves anybody, he'll have to save us all. So Satan almost did it. We were down to 8 people that were not tainted. And before the devil could get those last 8, God destroyed the world totally, completely, and killed every being. Who's in control? Totally, completely. I mean, Satan may be a powerful angelic being, but he's a little bit crazy. He's a little bit dumb. See, he doesn't know God. He's kind of like us. I mean, I don't know who he is really in his entirety. Ernest, I can't even begin to comprehend this mighty God that we serve. Nobody in this room can begin to comprehend the magnificence of this great and awesome God that's in control of the universe. But he made a set of rules. And if you obey them, he makes everything come to pass, just like he said. He is in control. Now he says, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he, God, has reserved in them in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. I mean, those demons of hell, those angels that left that first estate, I mean, he sent some of his angels, his good ones, and they went down there and they got them, and they put them in darkness, and they're chained, and they've been there ever since, waiting to get out to do something, and they can't go nowhere. And then one day, he'll do the final judgment and then cast every one of them into the lake of fire. And they know that's going to be their end, but between now and then, or between that day and now, they ain't been able to get out and do nothing. They've been bound forever. And they're going to be there until the final judgment. And then they will be cast alive into the lake of fire to be there forever. Let's see what 7 and 8 says. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Hey, does anybody see what that says? Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. You know, you see people. You see men. Unfortunately, sometimes Christian men. A guy will go with a girl in the church. He'll ask her out. And what's the first thing he does? Oh, goes up and puts his arm in and put her hand on her bottom. His feeling of her. Hey, if you're married to a girl, you can do that to her. But if you ain't married to her, you keep your hands off of her. She's strange flesh, and she's not open game for you. And God will judge you for that. And there's women today that will not even go with a Christian man because the first thing they do, they get in a dark place with them. They can't control the guy's hands. He's all over, got their hand up their dress, down their blouse and everything else. Hey, you're not going to marry me. I'm just on a date with you. What are you doing? They can't control theirself. But the worldly people, you can turn on television. I mean, we don't even have a television hooked up here. We don't watch television. But when I go out of town, I watch the news or something, and you flip through channels and you see things that is beyond your wildest imagination. I can't believe what's on the stupid television set today, and people are watching that stuff. I mean, homosexuality, perversion, sex, foul words, taking the Lord's name in vain. Hey, if I was God, I'd already destroy this place. You better be glad I'm not God. I'd have already wiped this place out, wouldn't you? I mean, it's awful, isn't it? All you got to do is watch a few minutes, and it just turns you off. But he says, they're set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise. That was Sodom and Gomorrah. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Who are these filthy dreamers? These guys that were sent in among the church to teach us a lie. Also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignity. I missed something. Go back to verse 1. I want to read. There's a verse that I missed that I want to make sure I don't miss. I'm going to read verse 1, verse 2, verse 3 and 4. When I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. Okay, here's the part I missed. I didn't remember it. Ungodly men turning the grace of God into lascivious and denying the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. These men are denying that what God has said in His Word is truth, and they're not teaching the truth. And let's see what verse 5 says. See if it has something else. I will therefore put in remembrance. There was something in one of the translations I read that I wanted to make sure. But anyway, somewhere I've missed that. I don't know where I missed that. No letter destroyed every one of those. Verse 4. Go back in the NLT to verse 4, Phil. One of those translations. I say this because some godless people have wormed their way in among you. Oh, there's the verse. That's the translation I read that really stuck. Verse 4, the NLT. Listen to this. Verse 4. I say this because some godless people have wormed their way in among you, saying that God's forgiveness allows us to live immoral lives. That's the part that I'd missed, that I'd stuck with me. I mean, you think about men of God. In fact, one of the people that we ministered to yesterday in Hobbs, I told them they needed to find a good church somewhere. She said, I went to a church, but the church that I was in, the pastor was living in sin, and there was people in that church that's living together, and he says it's okay, and they're not even married. He's one of these. You see that? I say this because some godless people have wormed their way in among you, being pastors and deacons and elders and all kinds of things in the church, saying that God's forgiveness allows us to live immoral lives. Oh, it's okay. You know, God understands. If you don't want to go to church every week, that's okay. You don't have to. Oh, if you want to live with that girl a few months before you're married to try her out to see if you're going to like her or see if she likes you, God understands. He don't mind. Do you know that ain't true? Do you know that's a lie?
Amen.
Well, if that's the case, then why are so many people in the church are living together before they get married? If that's the case, and God says, let no fornication be among my believers, not one time, never, no sex out of wedlock, why are so many people in the church having sex and they're not married? Why aren't they doing that? They don't believe there's a consequence. But you don't get by with nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the church is going to be judged. It's going to be judged. You know, I'm going to tell you, just like Paul did, if you're one that can't control your vessel, your body, your sexual organs, then for God's sake, marry somebody.
Amen.
You know, don't live in sin. You know, because if you live in sin, it's going to cost you tremendously. But he says here, there's people that's moved in among us that say that God's forgiveness allows us to live immoral lives. It's okay. You know, God don't mind. I mean, you know, you don't have to go to church. God don't mind if you don't go to church. That's not true. He says, go to church. You don't have to study the Bible. You know, we don't have to study the Bible to serve God. Oh, yes, you do, because he said in 1 Timothy 2:15, study. Show yourself approved unto God. Now, but my opinion is this. Hey, your opinion don't count. Only God's Word is what you're going to be judged by. But my pastor told me that I could live with that girl, Lord. I mean, I've lived with her for 10 years. I didn't want to marry her. Yeah, we brought two children into the world. But God, my pastor, told me it's okay. He said, well, he lied to you. Ain't no telling. But all I got to say is that guy gave you his opinion, which was wrong. Is that right? Now, if anybody tells you to do something, don't line up with this book, you're in trouble.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106, and we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.